Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy Old Man in the Attic, episode 82. Wilbon, we're going to begin today with baseball. There is reported movement in the baseball stalemate. Rob Manfred flew to Phoenix yesterday. I'm surprised he didn't have dinner at your house. He flew to Phoenix to talk directly to Tony Clark. That meeting has been described on all sides as productive. And now there's the possibility through all this reporting that there will be a baseball season of indeterminate length, but maybe 60, 65 games, followed by expanded playoffs, 16 teams instead of the normal 10, and the players will get their full prorated salaries. Wilbon, do you trust this is a breakthrough?
Yeah, Tony. Once Rob Manfred gets on a flight, you know, and leaves the East wherever he operates and comes out here and sits and talks to Tony Clark face-to-face, I have every reason to believe this will happen. Look, I got tired of baseball. You got tired of baseball, both sides. I wasn't interested in taking sides. I didn't give a damn about the sides from day one. It took you a little while to get baseball weariness. It took you several weeks. It took me about 3 hours. But I said then, and I'll say now, I think that both sides, when they stop talking all the junk they talk in the normal course of negotiations, they realize how bad each side would look and the damage each side would suffer if squabbling over money led to no baseball season. So I think we've reached that point.
Yeah, I mean, it feels legitimate, and I think we both agree that as long as people talk, it's good. If Manfred and Clark meet face-to-face and they get rid of the enmity that both sides have had, that's probably good. Look, I guess maybe the players win because there's more games than 48, and if they have a prorated salary, it's more money for them. But the owners win as well, because if you have expanded playoffs, I'm going to assume the advertising rates, you know, are much higher for the playoffs than in the regular season. The actual winners are people who like baseball, because baseball is a daily sport, and we're going to be able to see it. But to echo what you're saying, they rip your guts out. Both sides rip your guts out. It seems that all they care about is money and small points and yelling at one another. So it doesn't have the feeling of victory as much as sort of a relief that we are going to see some baseball. I just never got the sense that they cared about the people. I just didn't.
They don't care. They don't. I'm not going to presume that the actual having a season addresses that at all. They don't. But it's okay. They don't have to. This is a business like any other business. I'll just say real quickly, Tony.
Yeah.
Now comes more hard work, because you got to figure out how you're going to execute this thing. It's difficult, as we're going to get into with the NBA. It's very hard to now, in the world that we live in, still have a season. And baseball is going to have to get to the detailed, small, difficult, grinding work of figuring out how to do it and doing it.
So I think that baseball people and basketball people and football people, but baseball people more than the others, they need to care about the fact that sports is important. We got a virus. We got no economy. We have racial strife. This is not just an anesthetic. This is something that people can turn to and bridge some of these gaps, that sports is actually important, which leads me to basketball, because the bubble protocols are out. It's 100 pages in length, apparently. And I'm going to read this. The NBA players have until June 24th to inform their teams if they want to participate. If they don't, they could lose up to 1/14 of their salaries. You quarantine for 48 hours upon arrival in the bubble. You can leave, but then if you come back, you have to quarantine for 10 days, which will disrupt games, obviously. You can play golf. You can go bowling. You can go fishing. There'll be DJ sets. There'll be live comedy. There's barbers by appointment. Guests can come, but not until the second round of the playoffs, which is 7 weeks down the road. Does the NBA bubble sound challenging, or does it sound a bit delightful to you?
It's not delightful. They're making this as attractive as they can. They're making this like the most luxurious dorm you could imagine having for those who went to college. And, you know, they're making this, Tony, palatable. That's what they're doing. They're taking every step possible. And I applaud the NBA for that. There's one thing they're going to have to get rid of, and that's this snitch line. This line where if you see somebody within 3 feet of somebody without a mask and you call. And can you imagine this? I mean, if you could infiltrate and say, hey, I saw LeBron 3 feet away from somebody with no mask. Ha! And that person's got to go into like 48-hour quarantine. You can't have that. I understand it's all of it's well-intentioned. It's so well thought out. I get all of it. Snitch line out. Everything else seems to be. And they'll probably add some stuff, Tony. Again, what can you do to make this more tolerable for guys who are going to do this for 2+ months if you get to the finals?
Yeah, you've got all this entertainment. You've got the ability to have private chefs send you food. You have exercise facilities. You know, it is, in fact, a resort. It is not incarceration. But no guests for a minimum of 7 weeks. Guests. No guests for 7 weeks. So if you're down 0-3 in the first round of the playoffs, you might tank to say, I'd like to spend a night with a guest or two. I'd
okay.
like to get out of here.
That's the hard.
But that's the hard part. They're trying the best that they can to keep everybody as safe as they possibly can. What it comes down to for with me is this. Do you want to play or don't you? They're going to give away a ring at the end of this. Do you want that ring or don't you? That's the issue for me.
Agreed. And Tony, can we be fair about guests with your raised eyebrows? Yes, we understand what that means.
Yes.
But you know what it could also mean? How about your wife and children? How about that? How about your family?
They're guests.
How about that?
Okay.
They're guests too, without raised eyebrows. So you got to do without your family. Now, some people, look, you know what? People have just spent 90 days with their family. I don't know about you. This is the first time I have ever been with my wife and son for more than 20 days in a row.
They hate
Max,
you. I guarantee it.
Matthew says, Dad, I don't believe that. It seems more like 9 days in a row. Now it's been 90. It's time to get out. It's time to go to Orlando, baby, or wherever else you can go. 90 days? You don't need any guests.
I know you say this and you think I'm fooling around, but it is a monastic existence. I mean, as hard as people are trying, that is one of the realities. I'm sure Kyrie Irving will come up with 50 things that are terrible, including what? You can't play doubles in ping pong because you have to social distance. But the critical factor for young men is going to be being alone for a long period of time.
Yeah.
That's, you know, can they do it?
You've always said they can't.
You've said they can't.
You can play golf. There's lots of good golf at Disney. You and I have been there. We know this.
That's right. I played them. Played all the courses.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. The old players, the old guys in the league, they think they're playing a lot of golf.
No guess.
Oh, you and these guests. Let's get to some actual basketball talk, Tony. My man, Rockets GM Daryl Morey, was asked on Fox Sports 1's First Things First today if his team should feel pressure heading into the NBA's proposed restart and playoffs. And Morey responded, quote, it's basketball pressure. We have two of the greatest players ever on our team. We should win this thing, close quote. Tone, you going to agree with my friend Daryl Morey?
So Daryl Morey sounds like a guy who knows he's not going to have this job next year at all. And he's going out in a blaze of glory. He's predicting a win. And if they get that win, then he looks like a genius. Do I think they should win it? No, I don't. We know the only way that the Rockets can win games is to take 50 to 55 threes and hit 25. If they don't shoot well, they don't win. It's hard for me in the West to look at that team and say that they are the equal, not the superior, even the equal, of the Clippers or the Lakers. I'm not even mentioning Denver or Oklahoma City or Dallas or some team like that. So no, I don't think they should win. Do you?
No, I don't think they should win. I don't think they will win. And, Tony, I don't like Daryl Morey's players as much as I like Daryl Morey. I like Daryl, and I like the fact that he puts a team out there every year to contend, and they can contend. But I remember this, Tony, one of the last games, real NBA games in a NBA arena that I covered, coaches on the other team were saying, here's what's going to happen. People are going to double-team James Harden hard. They're going to double-team him often. And he's not comfortable in that situation. James Harden, a great, 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 great player. But when faced with double teams, I know I saw this against the Lakers. They did it like five times just to test it out. And he had like three turnovers and a missed shot and a who knows what else, a travel. I mean, no, I don't see them winning in a league that's not a 6-4 and over league. And they are great players. They are all-time great players. These are MVPs, two MVPs. They are prolific. Do I see them? I can see them losing in the first round. I really could, Tony, because when you and by the way, I don't know how fluid games are going to be. And Westbrook and Harden, when they're going in midseason form, they can crush you by themselves. They can. But now you're coming out of inactivity. Those guys are in their 30s. They may need some time to get warmed up. I could see them going down the first round to any of those teams, and I can't see them winning more than one round. I can't.
Neither of those guys, as good as they are, has ever won a championship before, and that matters. The playoffs are built on defense. The playoffs change the way everybody orients towards the game. James Harden is not going to get the shots that he gets on a Wednesday in December.
No.
And Russell Westbrook is not going to drive to the basket unimpeded as he does on a Tuesday in January. So, no. Good for Daryl Morey for trying everything in the book. Should they win it?
Let's stay with basketball. They contend.
Yeah, here we go. Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated is out with his pick in the East, and it's the Philadelphia 76ers. Here is his logic. Mannix says nobody is going to be comfortable shooting on courts they've never played on, baskets they don't know. So the fact that Philadelphia doesn't shoot isn't going to hurt them that much. They play great defense. And they've got a really skilled big man. Wilbon, do you agree with this assessment?
Tony, it's intriguing, the case he makes. I don't know that I agree with it. And I understand that, again, I talked about you're not going to have all that great offensive flow and three-point shooting is going to be off because these guys have, some of them have played because they play AAU there. And so, but that's going back some years. Tony, I picked Philadelphia to win the East at the beginning of the season. And then like 6 weeks in, you go, this is not working. And so I don't see Philadelphia, even with the conditions that he describes and the case he makes, I don't see them beating Toronto. I don't see him beating Milwaukee. You know, I don't even know that I see him beating Miami. You know, and Indiana's going to be tough because Oladipo is going to be stronger, having more time to recover from his surgery of last year. So, man, I don't know that I'm ready to jump on this Philly train. What about you?
Well, I will say this, and I'm very glad to see that Joel Embiid is yapping again. I'd gone a while without hearing him. It had been a very pleasant existence. But here's Embiid saying, quote, I have something to prove. Whenever the opportunity comes, it's going to be my time, unquote. So it's great to see that his ego is undiminished after not being around for, I don't know, 12 or 13 weeks. The 76ers have a good team. I don't really understand the notion that if everybody else doesn't shoot well, they'll still shoot the same. What if they shoot worse? I mean, it's possible they shoot worse. And by the way, they hate each other, which is a factor here. The most amazing thing about the Sixers is the disparity of home and away. At home, they're 29-2. Away, they're 10-24. This is almost unfathomable. But what I don't know is this. Is there home court and away court when you're playing on a new court? Because if the other team is the nominal home team, they're not going to have any fans. How is it a home court for them? You know, I don't know how this shakes out for the Sixers. Do you?
No, neutral court. I don't know what that means. But you got to import your court, the hardwood. You got to bring that hardwood down I-95 and let them, like, dribble on it. I mean, it's not going to give you the advantage that the parquet and its dead spots would give the Celtics, you know, for about 40 years. But Tony, Philadelphia, going into this restart, they're a wild card, just like they were going to be going into the playoffs in home gyms and away gyms. Total wild card. I don't know what to expect.
Good. Well, we've got about 3 months to figure it out, don't we?
we do indeed.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
All set for the happies. Let's see if I can actually read what I've written. Happy 50th birthday, Popeye Jones. After leading the NCAA in rebounding at Murray State, Jones played 11 seasons in the NBA with 7 different teams. Dallas, Toronto, Boston, Denver, Washington, Dallas again, and Golden State. For 2 seasons in Dallas, he averaged a double-double. But after that, the 6'8 Jones was mostly a role player, averaging 7 points and 7 rebounds over 535 games. What makes him interesting is that 2 of his sons, Seth and Caleb, are defensemen in the NHL. In Popeye's 1 season in Denver, 1999 through 2000, he got advice from Joe Sakic of the Colorado Avalanche how to get his son started in hockey. Now Seth Jones is a 3-time All-Star with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and Caleb Jones is on the Edmonton Oilers. Popeye Jones is an assistant on the Indiana Pacers. Wilbon, I'm trying to think if any hockey players have sons in the NBA.
Yeah, Tony, I was just thinking about that crossover. I couldn't come up with anybody, but you know somebody. We're going to find out that somebody did it or a former player did it. It's got to have happened. Popeye Jones, just an all-around good guy. And how about the fact that he started his sons in that direction and it paid off? And Seth Jones, a total stud. Tony, good for Popeye. Got to be a proud Popeye.
Happy anniversary, NBA and ABA. On this day, 44 years ago, the National Basketball Association announced it would merge with the American Basketball Association, ending the 9-year struggle between the leagues that saw star players such as Rick Barry, Spencer Haywood, and Billy Cunningham jump back and forth. The NBA took in 4 of the remaining 6 ABA teams, Indiana, San Antonio, Denver, and the New York Nets, all of which had to pay the NBA expansion fees. Kentucky and St. Louis were left out, and their big stars, Artis Gilmore and Moses Malone, were poached by NBA teams, but their owners got paid. The ABA's red, white, and blue ball did not make it. But a few years later, the ABA's three-point basket did, and that changed the entire sport. The ABA's biggest draw then was Julius Erving, who was playing at home on Long Island for the Nets. Ironically, the Nets had to pay the New York Knicks so much money for invading their territory that to do it, they had to sell Dr. J to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, Tony, 3 of those 4 have played for an NBA championship. The only one that hasn't is the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets were the best team and the best positioned team to win coming in at the merger. And David Thompson and Dan Issel and Bobby Jones. I mean, that team, they, you remember because you covered a little bit of the ABA back then.
Yeah.
Didn't you think Denver was actually going to be the first team to win from the ABA? Only the Spurs have actually won.
I did. Happy trails to fans at this year's Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. It's not just NASCAR. It's not just golf. It's not just the Belmont Stakes, which won't have any fans. Now they've really crossed the line. Because of coronavirus concerns, Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest will not have any fans either. So goodbye to that annual throng of barely dressed beachgoers crowded around the stage at Coney Island, hoping for some scrap of hot dog to come flying their way in case someone projectile vomits. The contest will be held in a private location, I'm going to suggest not at a bar in Jacksonville, on the usual July 4th date. But contestants will be limited to 5 instead of the usual 15. Don't worry, defending champions Joey Chestnut, who's won the men's side 12 of the last 13 years, and Mickey Sudo, who's won the women's side 6 years in a row, they'll be there. Chestnut holds the world's record for stuffing down 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Think about this. 74 hot dogs down the chute in 10 minutes. I'd like to party with this guy. ESPN is going to televise the contest. Well, but I'm thinking New Yorkers Breen, Van Gundy, and Jackson should be on the call. Don't you think?
I do. Let me just say this. Normally, we're at the end of the NBA playoff right about now. And Sage Steele and I have been part of the traveling caravan on the road for years. If I reach for a single hot dog at a meal, I get my hands slapped by Sage. So let me just say, Kevin Negandhi, do not reach for a hot dog. Sage will just chop your hand off.